Praise the Lord. I greet you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. On this Resurrection Sunday 2020, a day, a Sunday that will never come again, but a day that I'm sure that most of us will live, will remember for as long as we live, in the name of Jesus. Because he is still Lord, and he is still Savior. I'd like to greet you this morning with a letter that was written to us from our regional overseer and his wife. And it is entitled, Peace Be Unto You. The gospel narratives vividly enlighten us about the circumstances surrounding the first Easter. Instead of being able to celebrate openly and enthusiastically as the event warranted, John informed his readers that they had to remain hidden behind closed doors and to shelter in place for the fear of the Jews. As they were compelled by the circumstances to remain cloistered and separated from all others, right into their midst, behind closed doors, came Jesus with resurrected power, presence, and glory. Speaking divine words of empowerment and peace, he came and stood right in their midst. He came and spoke as he always did, with the right message, speaking exactly what they needed to hear to calm their broken spirits and to conform their fearful hearts. Peace be unto you. Today, very few of us could have predicted Easter 2020 would have been so dreadfully dramatic and so painfully heart-rending for so many. The fact that so many are hurting and we are unable to assemble together to worship our risen Savior and Lord and to comfort each other as we normally would do. However, the consolation we have from this most powerful Easter message that we preach, that even when the doors were shut and the disciples were sequestered behind closed doors, Jesus came in and stood in their midst, dispelling fear and dispensing grace. Brethren, please know that in spite of this advancing coronavirus pandemic, and even when social distancing must be enacted, the King of Glory comes and stands extremely close to every one of us behind closed doors, this declaring shalom, which means quietness, rest, health, welfare, prosperity, and every kind of goodness, reconciliation, wholeness, and salvation. The resurrected Lord yet speaks a word of peace into all of our troubled lives and times. Not to be overlooked is the word peace is mentioned 3 times in this short passage of John 20, 19 through 26. How do we need the message of peace in these apocalyptic times? Peace be unto you. Easter blessings, Bishop and Lady Greenaway. What a marvelous and wonderful message they wrote to us. Peace be unto you. As I was doing my studying this week, I was writing and I had the scriptures that I wanted to expound upon. But then this morning there was a statement that came and it is so proficient for us today. And if I had the title that I wanted you to keep in mind is Seeing Death but Speaking Life. So today, all around us, we're seeing death, but I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I'm speaking life to you today. The resurrection of Jesus from the tomb is something far more significant than an ancient incident that happened over 2,000 years ago. It does have meaning for today. The resurrection of Christ is a present-day reality in which we must live and we must act. When we see the significance of the resurrection of Christ through the lenses of the past and the present and the future, only then will we truly understand the message of the resurrection. That empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday, Christ contained a message that was important for all of the ages. That message will still be important until Christ comes back to receive his own. The resurrection of Christ explained the meaning of his death on the cross. Jesus Christ was a sacrificial, substitutionary death, was a concept that was so foreign to all the popular ideas that people thought about what this Messiah would be. It was virtually impossible for Jesus to convince his disciples of the necessity of his death. But they, being human, did everything in their power to persuade him from coming into Jerusalem. They did everything that they could to prevent him from coming in contact with those who wanted to bring about his death. But Jesus came down with a plan. And Jesus persisted in his plan. For in John, the 9th chapter and the 4th verse, it says, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him that sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." In John, the 12th chapter and the 23rd verse, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." For the disciples, the death of Jesus on the cross was a personal sorrow. Their hearts were crushed with grief. They had known him for a while. They had followed him in his ministry for a number of years. They had become devoted to him. They were familiar with him. And his death represented a personal loss. It's amazing that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who came to be the sacrificial lamb, that these men still took it personal. And they were only worried about their personal loss, as opposed to the whole gain that the world would get. Jesus' death represented a personal disappointment. Oh, how many times when somebody disappoints us, we take it so personal. But in their minds, they were hoping for the reestablishment of the kingdom of David. Oh, the good old days. And there's so many times that leaders and people in leadership come to establish something that God has given them to do, an assignment, and people are looking for the good old days, and they're disappointed that they're not going back to the good old days. But when Jesus gives you an assignment, he's not taking you back to the good old days. He's taking you to a new day. Some of them, in their personal opinions, they were hoping to get a position of prominence when the kingdom would be established. But when Christ was crucified, all of those dreams, all of those hopes were shattered. The hopes that man had in the Messiah were not the hopes that Jesus came to give. Jesus' death was a public tragedy because Jesus was very popular. Oh, he fed thousands of people. Oh, he healed the sick. He made the wounded walk. He was very popular. But in the end, they condemned him as a criminal. And the ultimate, final indignity that he suffered was death by crucifixion. Jesus did all of that and endured all of that just for you and I. But the scripture says, and I'd like to take you to a scripture, because in these scriptures, it's going to show the thinking of not just people, but the disciples. So if you can turn your Bibles to Luke, the 24th chapter. And I would like to start at verse 13. It says, now that the same day two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Now, in verse 15, when they said, and they talked and discussed, the Bible indicates that these two men were deep in thought. I also want you to realize that when something happens, people will get together and they're going to walk and they're going to talk and they're going to discuss what is going on, at least from their perspective. And at times, what you see physically has nothing to do with what actually happened spiritually. Verse 16 says, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus kept them from recognizing him. This is the first time that I recognize Jesus as the original undercover boss. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that has happened there in these days? This was asked with a bit of sarcasm. He was basically asking the master, what hole did you just climb out of? But Jesus looked at him and said, what things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Now, I just need to stop right there, because what this man said is an indication of where they were and where they were at. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. It's amazing that he never mentioned him being the Messiah. And the reason why he never mentioned him being the Messiah was because their faith had been shaken. That all the things that they thought about Jesus the week before, it all came tumbling down on that Friday that Jesus was nailed to the cross. Cleophas went on and said, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one. I just like to repeat that again. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, this This is the third day since all of this took place. Now, the third day is always significant because Jesus Christ himself said, destroy the temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Jesus also said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so shall the Son of Man will be in 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus has already predicted many times that the 3 days would be significant. It is also significant that after the 3 days, in the 3 day period, by the third day, that the faith of the disciples and everybody who once believed in Jesus as the Messiah had been shaken. Verse 22 says, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. But Jesus turned around to them and said, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. What fools all of you are to forget everything that you were taught. All are prophets that prophesied. All of what Moses has taught you, it's all gone in 3 days. In between the next scriptures, Jesus wants to continue moving on, and these two men ask him to stay and eat. And as they sat down to eat, and Jesus broke bread with them, it's the way that Jesus broke the bread and that he blessed the bread that they soon realized this truly was the Messiah. But before they could do anything else, they turned around and he was gone. They left and went where the other disciples were meeting. And they were extremely glad, and they were speaking with them about the Messiah coming up to them, walking with them, talking with them, breaking bread with them. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of it, Jesus Christ walks in the middle of there, out of nowhere, and says, peace be unto you. In verse 45 of the same chapter, the scripture said, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I venture to say that sometimes we could read scripture, we can experience scripture, but until we go through and understand something that God has brought us through, we can understand the scriptures. Jesus Christ's death and resurrection was a demonstration of the determination that God had a plan to redeem his people from the tyranny of sin. The resurrection revealed a great price paid for our redemption. Oh, on this Sunday, I want you to know that we are redeemed by the love. In Romans 5 and 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 15 and 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We are redeemed today by substitution. 1 Peter 3 and 18 says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. We are redeemed by Christ's suffering. In 1 Peter 2, 23 to 24, the Bible states, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. The resurrection declared that Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be the Son of God. His divinity was no longer a matter of faith alone. They knew it to be a fact. The resurrected Christ was declared to be a sinless Savior. But because Jesus died a substitutionary death for our sin instead of a personal sin, the book of Acts declares that death could not hold him down. The Bible states, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him and keep him down. Death could not hold him down because of his power, because of his dignity as the person of the Son of God. He was still the Prince of Life, abolishing death by the power that he had. He made full satisfaction to his Father God for our sins. Don't you know today that everything is paid in full? Today, he paid it forward for us. Oh, hallelujah. The death assured the apostles and to us today that we might have life and life eternal because of the death of Christ on the cross. Jesus did not rise from the dead to make a new doctrine. He did it to fulfill the wishes of his Father. And in the midst of all that he did, he rose from the grave to assure us that he has not forsaken us. He assured the disciples that he had not forsaken them. And even today, Jesus Christ in Scripture has said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. He said that he would lay down his life for his sheep. I want you to know today that before he did this, he told the disciples, he told the world, he told the Pharisees, he told the Sadducees, he told all the unbelievers. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Jesus knew that he had all power in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Isn't it amazing that your friend, your Lord and Savior, has the power to lay his life down and to raise it up again? When Jesus did that, he showed all power that is in heaven. He showed all authority that is in heaven. He used it on that resurrection Sunday to show you and I that he defeated sin. He used it to show us that he defeated death. He used it to show us that he defeated the grave. He used it to show us that he defeated all the powers of evil. I want you to know this morning that having Christ in your life, you can control all the moments of moral weakness that you might have. Having Christ in your life is a living presence that he can be a help to you in all times. During this time when we need tremendous effort and tremendous courage, we need Christ in our life. Having Christ in our life means that he can comfort us in all the trials and the tribulations and the trouble that is to come. He declares in Matthew 24 and 21, "For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never before to be equaled again." In 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, having nothing to do with such people. Don't you know that there's power in godliness?" And in verse 8, in the middle, it says, "They are men of a deprived mind." So as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be made clear to everyone. As we look around and see the things that are going on today, the folly is being made clear to everyone. Even if you don't have the spiritual eyes and you look through your physical eyes, the folly is being made clear to everyone. So I say to you today, we are in need of something more than an intellectual or political or financial power in this world today. We need to have access and be able to utilize the spiritual power that Jesus Christ declared would be available to his people. It could be available to you today through faith in him and in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. There's a trainer who had a trained C&I dogs, and he told the blind companion as they walked across the street with the new guide dog, he said, "Walk closer to him. He cannot guide you when you hold him at an arm's length." The same is true for us today. We must walk closer to him. He can't guide us at an arm's length. We must consistently and deliberately stay close to the living Christ if we want to enjoy the companionship and the infallible leadership that is in him. Today, too many people are seeing death, but I come to you in the name of the only individual that has conquered death, a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, he is risen. He is present here today, And he is able to save you from the penalty of sin, which is death. He is able to save you from sin's power and give you the victory. He is able to bring the spirit of a living God and holiness and joy into your heart and into your life. Today it would be wise for you to respond to him in faith and let him to become your savior. Decide now to let him teach you and to guide you. Let him be your leader that will never lead you wrong. He and he alone can only give you victory over death and the grave. Not only that, he can give you fellowship with a loving God, not just for now, but for eternity. If you're not saved today and you don't have a relationship with this God that I know, you can have one starting right now. I serve a risen Savior. You can serve a risen Savior. That risen Savior right now is here with open arms. And if you would like to receive salvation today, wherever you are, just open your hearts. Lift your hands and repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you right now, here today, on this Resurrection Sunday, into the family of Christ. May God continue to bless you. May he keep you. May you look to him as a source of your strength. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
You have been listening to the Cathedral of Higher Praise with Pastor Dr. Philip Boone. To contact the church or Dr. Boone, please write the Cathedral of Higher Praise, 155 Grand Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut, 06513, or call at 1-203-776-7676. That's 203-776-7676. Or contact the cathedral online at www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. That's www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. For Dr. Philip Boone and the Cathedral of Higher Praise family, I've been Brother Johnny Williams. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.